Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, with my two other hosts and hostess, Stephanie and Carl. We're going to talk about some of the shenanigans that happened, some of the panels we went through, some of the stars we saw and did not stalk and get taken to jail. We have Phone Gate. We have 24th floor bonding stories. We have a roommate funnies, hallway stories, and tales of abandonment, costuming, and revenge. This time on the Sci-Fi Party Line.
I'm exhausted just listening to the preview. I don't know.
So let's start with the case of the high velocity sign and the Once Upon a Time panel, Carl.
Okay. Where to begin? First of all, you all have to realize that we have been yelling, laughing, and screaming for about four solid days. So we are just barely fit to be around humans once again. So we're all about a quarter power, but we're going to do this. We are here for you. So we're going to do this.
I'm here for you more than Carl.
I know, boo girl. Girl, boo, boo girl.
You see how the ability to conjugate has left us? This is just a glimmer of what you've got in store for you this time. So here's the thing. We managed to trickle into Dragon Con, our posse from different states, over a two-day span of time. Which was just the first fun in terms of trying to simply get everyone together at one location. That was just the start of the fun. So I came in Thursday, Kat, Steph, and Charles. Anyway, we had folks coming in Thursday and Friday. And so in the midst of the heart of Dragon Con, this is Friday. Friday is when finally everyone gets together. The effort to try to get everyone together at one spot, just to meet up for the very first time, because again, so special. So many of us had never even met each other in person before. We've been doing this cast. Kat and I have been casting together for 4 years, and she much longer. For 5 years, and she much longer than that. But she and I had never met before this glamorous, fantabulous, exciting Dragon Con. So it was a very special moment
for us. Wasn't it special for Carl and I to meet, but it was pretty good, I have to say. I mean, Carl and I also have not met in person, so I just wanted to interject that, Mr. Forget Me Much.
Oh, yes, and Steph's on the cast, too. So anyway,
Before you keep your thought, Carl, don't forget what you're going to say. But I will have to say, Stephanie and I have met once before, but I hadn't met Hanako, Kai, or Charles. So that was really special to meet all these people, and especially Carl, because we have been podcasting together the longest.
There you go.
Okay, have a last day. Woo! And aggressive silence.
I have so much to say, but you know what? The story will explain it all. So I'm just...
The way Ed tells it.
I will be avenged.
Yeah, so I'm just going to let this play out, and we will let folks on the listeners decide. So, all right. Long story short, I recognized that you would not be at the hotel at 12:30. But since you two were meeting up at the airport first, and I was waiting for you at the hotel, I wanted an ETA as to when you were going to arrive. I just needed to know when you were going to be there, because guess what? I'd been there all day. I could go out and go to other events and other things, but I wasn't doing that because I was waiting for you. I simply needed to know when you were arriving. I was just trying to get that information. ETA ballpark. Are you heading this
way? We encountered some pushy people before we even got there that were like taking our bags out of our hands.
Well, listen, that was at the airport. You have to understand the porters want their money. So they are very, very helpful at the Atlanta Hartford Airport there. They want your bags bad there.
And this dude came up to me. He's like, I'm going to leave in 15 minutes, and you better come with me. And I'm like, what? Who are you? And why? What's going on? I don't understand.
Is we had the Carl sent us the most descriptive tutorial on how to ride the MARTA, and we were going to do that until we saw how exactly hot it was in Atlanta. And like, we're girls, we had luggage, we had hair going on,
we had cardigans
and sweaters and shit.
In Atlanta, I'd like to point out, but go on.
It's like 60 degrees where I left, and I didn't expect it to be hot, humid. So I haven't experienced that in a while. So we was like, oh my God, we're going to take the shuttle. And when we walked out, there's like 15 shuttles, and Kai was like, just take the shuttle. And I'm like, well, there's different names on these shuttles. I don't know which shuttle to take. And then
there's like kidnapper shuttle. There's creepy skeevy pedophile van shuttle.
There is actually a Reaper shuttle. I saw that as well. So you don't want to get on that one. Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, I'm getting ready to go. And if y'all want to go in 5 minutes, y'all going to have to be in the van. I was like, well, we needed a round trip because are you the one that do the round trip for $27 discount, Dragon Con, blah, blah. I could do that just like everybody else over there. I was like, well, did we get a paper? Is it a call service? I don't really understand. Was it? Well, what had happened? And then I was just like, and then Stephanie was like, at Stockholm, said, well, maybe we should just go.
I mean, if only there had been a simpler alternative to taking the shuttle available to you.
The 5 blocks is what got me, because it was like all I did was walk 10 steps to the shuttle area and my hair had poofed and
sweating in the eyes.
Eyeball sweat.
Swamp ass is a thing I had no idea about, and I'd rather not know.
And Stephanie's hair is straight, and somehow she grew an afro too.
I was curious about that. That was kind of cool, actually. I saw it. Yes,
that. I had an afro that I didn't know was in me.
Yes, the flavor came out in Dragon God. It's true.
We finally found the right shuttle with a place to actually pay and a
normal people.
And I got called babe and sweetheart and shit like that, but I was just like, fine, because Creepy McGee down there felt like he was going to take us to a hotel and take our livers for organ market or something. And
we had to get our badges first, which was in another freaking hotel. And so we went to get our badges, and then more people came and took bags out of our hands for no reason. Could I please have my bag, please? I still had Stockholm Syndrome because I was like, well, maybe we should just let the big, brawny, rapey people take our bags. And she's like, no.
Yes.
I would like to point out that Dragon God, we haven't even gotten to that yet. This is just the preliminaries of getting there.
So we got there, and then I was just like, Carl told me, you're going to be so excited about all the costumes, blah, blah, blah. And I was just determined to not be impressed. But like the first time I got, oh my God, look at there's the Dr. Evan. Look at the pad. So actually getting into it was like, after we have like grabby bags, take our bags, and I was just like, well, where's the security for said bags? Like, will our bags be here when we get back? I don't understand what it is. Just go get your ticket and blah, blah, blah. It'll be here when you get back. I don't care. And I was just like, okay, fine. I got Stockholm Syndrome because I held out longer, but Stephanie was just like, just do it. And I was just kept lipping. And I was just finally, I'll give in too. And it was hard, but I was just like, I'm tired. Let's go get the, because we got to stand in line. We didn't even have to stand in line. We just like went through the rat maze a little bit, walked right up, got our stuff.
Everybody was nice after that. There was no more pushy stuff until the elevator.
This is when the official Dragon Con began. That's right. You got your badge, then it's on.
Well, no, because there was one more level of bitchiness, because from the badge hotel, we had to find our hotel. And didn't we have to, like, gladiator fight our way on the street?
Oh, on the streets. And then you left me behind. I was blinded by sweat. And you're like,
you say walk, you saying I'm left you, but I ain't leave you behind.
You did. You were like, well, if somebody's gonna experience air conditioning, it might as well be me. And you went boom, and the you just like left me there, and I couldn't see because
it's like I don't understand eyeball sweat because I didn't. I thought
it didn't originate from my eyes.
You don't understand. I was like in a desert and the hotel was a mirage, a shimmering mirage and shit. And I was like, this has to be real. I need water because I was like sweated out every ounce of water that I'd had at that point.
And that was literally just three blocks, right?
It was so parched.
Can you imagine five blocks of that? I wouldn't have made it. Well, I would have been the first casualty.
See, I know me. And so I was like, you know what? I'd rather, because I know I'm going to be tired at the end. If we have our rent parking and stuff arranged all at the front, have a ticket, shit's gonna be golden. So I think we made a good decision, but your tutorial was amazing. That was like the most amazing thing possible. Now, if you had gave us a tutorial about meeting you at the high velocity sign, it could have went better.
I have to admit, I only skimmed your tutorial because while I was getting these long text messages about how to ride the train, a lot of people were like, oh, you've got to be going to Dragon Con, right? You're going, right? I'm looking here, I'm like, in my regular clothes, there is nothing indicative of Dragon Con about me. And they're like, oh yeah, you're going there, right?
There are two things that perhaps indicated to them that you were going to Dragon Con. One was the size of the bag that you had with you. Not unusually large, but something about it just seemed to imply. But then there was the other thing. Kat, you want to take it?
The biggest thing. Yep. No, I think you got it, Carl. You got it.
You, shall I? All right. Giant shock of purple hair right in the front. And it was perfect Dragon Con hue, too. I mean, it actually matched the logo. So, I mean, these
come
two
prepared.
Things. You just had that aura about you. They didn't have to ask. They knew exactly where you
Nobody
were about.
Nobody thought I was going to Dragon Con.
Well, I would have known.
Okay, so, well, we finally got to the hotel. We got lost because they have all these, I mean, I don't know why hotels just don't go floor 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, blah. They got bottom level, lower level, atrium level,
Alabama level,
Lickum level. Like, what is, what, just, I don't know where it, what?
East Hades. That was my favorite. East, it actually went left in the elevator shaft somehow. I don't know why.
And so we finally found to check in. You can't check in until you got all people, blah, blah, blah. And so we text that to Kai, and she was like, I'll be right there. And she came with Charles and Mario in hand, in tow, and we all hugged it out. And then, like, Charles gave Kai a gift, but he didn't have us a gift for me and Stephanie.
I know.
Did not. He said he was going to buy me shoes, and he did not have any shoes for me.
There was no scotch for me.
He didn't have scotch. He didn't have shoes, and he only came with a one-day pass. I was like, Charles, you can't promise a woman shoes and then not bring her shoes. I mean, I gave him my shoe size and everything. Okay, anyway. So let's go ahead and stop about that. I would like to note that, yeah, we met, but it wasn't as, you know, it wasn't like the whole thing, because I didn't want Carl to touch me because we were left waiting.
I
didn't want
so
him to
happy
touch
to
me.
See her. She got a big hug from me. I squeezed
her. He's filled
her.
With damn drink.
I said, oh, it's so good to see you, Kat. Even though she put me through so much, I embraced
you
her.
Me.
I embraced her like she was my very own. And I squeezed her. And everybody was very
drink.
Happy.
No.
Very
he
happy.
Came. I refused. I tried to back away and he spilled
but
my drink.
But she was too slow. So I grabbed her. I caught her as she was trying to get away. And I got a big hug. It was
And then what did you do, Stephanie? Did he hug you?
No, I have been the second fiddle in this whole story. Carl and I didn't bond until the very last night.
No, you bonded with him on the Picard line. We'll get to the Picard line. So what we're doing is we're just going to talk about some of the things we did.
Well, I went to the Once Upon a Time. It was good to see the crew from Once Upon a Time. I have always liked that series. I've always enjoyed it. And so let's see. Who was there? Peter Pan came. You guys, can you help me with the character? I mean, with the actor's
name?
You
saw it. We don't know.
Well, I can't remember everybody's
name. Don't have IMDb, y'all, so we're not going to be in research. Just describe it best you can and move on, man.
All right. So who was there? Who was there was the Wicked Witch. You know, the Green Wicked Witch, she was there. Peter Pan was there. Robin Hood was there. Magic Mirror Giancarlo Esposito was there. And Grandma with the crossbow was there. So they came to speak about what their experiences on Once Upon a Time is like. And fabulous presentation. Everybody seemed to be having a good time. They genuinely got along and were surprised. They talked about how surprised they were about each episode, how they, you know, really knew their characters from the fairy tales ahead. Grumpy was there too. Grumpy was awesome. I'd seen him before at Dragon Con. So he is actually one of my favorite Once Upon a Time presenters. He keeps it real for sure. But anyway, so they all were talking about how they sort of knew the legacy of their fairy tale characters, but how really cool the series puts the spin on it and takes them in different directions. Even the guy who played Peter Pan was like, you know, when I got the role of Peter Pan, I had one expectation. He said, and then I get in the role and I turn out to be an evil dude. So that's not the kind of thing that when you first get the role and you first get the part, you're expecting. And for them to keep up that quality and to keep up that surprise, even for the people who are on the show, there's sort of a dignified, you know, responsible surprise, but fascination with the characters. It was cool. And to hear them, you know, again, from all different ages and all different acting career experiences, sharing what it was like to come together with a diverse, different age cast from all over the world, it was great. It was great, and it just, you know, kind of went into why the show was so good, that you know, they were able to surprise us, and it was really cool. So the girls were thrilled that Robin Hood and Peter Pan were there. I mean, seriously, I managed to get second row, which is unheard of at a lot of these venues, but I managed to get in there. I'm sitting second row, and this wall of girls is sitting in front of me, and they have posted up because they are split between Peter Pan fans and Hook fans, and they are just gushing and jumping up, and a couple of them were trying to, shall we say, distract these guys during the presentation. There was winking, and there was some pouty lip stuff going on, and surprisingly, the guys were able to maintain a focus, a decorum, even though this kind of silliness was going on right in the front row. So kudos, guys. Kudos. That was very, very cool. But one of the people in the audience stood up and asked them, you know, do they believe that a musical version of an episode was going to come up? And half the crew thought that was a good idea. I actually think that's appropriate and is a good idea. The other half, not so sure. Not so sure whether a musical Once Upon a Time would work, episode of Once Upon a Time would work. But you could tell which actors were excited about it. A lot of them could sing. And those, Giancarlo wanted that. The grandma, she wanted that. I think Peter Pan was going to be able to swing that. Hook wasn't so sold, and he was a little concerned, and so was Wicked Witch. But I think overall, that might be something we could expect in the future, a musical version, a musical episode. Because, you know, I think Hook was trying to say, well, that wouldn't be very practical. It would take you out of the third wall of the presentation. And like, everyone in my front row is like, okay, this is Hook sitting next to the Wicked Witch trying to tell us that music would break the third wall. So, we're just waiting for the spell to hit that turns us one whole episode of Once Upon a Time into a musical. So who knows? We'll see.
It's kind of an obvious.
I agree.
Them. I mean,
I agree.
Why they haven't done it already?
I'm shocked.
They haven't, yeah.
I'm shocked. So I went to one more panel, And this panel was the delicious Jeri Ryan. It was her panel, and it was hosted by Garrett Wang. And they sat back and they talked about life on Voyager and what their experiences had been like. Now, I'm a fan of Jeri Ryan. I may have mentioned that once or twice. And because she is a somewhat popular character, I had to get in line as soon as possible. And so after the ladies had retired to the hotel room, I bolted downstairs to go see the lovely Jeri. I got in that line about an hour, 20 minutes before the presentation, before the panel began.
Oh, no. This would happen. We went to the bellhop. They brought our luggage up. We wanted to take a nap. But then I had to go downstairs to get another piece of luggage. And then Carl volunteered to help me get said luggage.
I did.
Guise of abandoning me to go see Jeri Ryan.
No, you are quite mistaken, my dear. I didn't care if you came with me to see Jeri Ryan or not. I went down there to help you with the bag. Whether you were going to come or not was immaterial. I was going to see Jeri Ryan. So technically, the fact that I detoured to help you with the bag was the kindness, because really, I was ready to go before even that. But that's all right. So we got your bag.
Believe this.
We got your bag and hug and gone. She was gone. She would take her nap. I had to see Jeri. So, all right, get there. Garrett is the host. He's actually the host of all of the Trek panels at DragonCon. He's sort of like the new liaison for Star Trek at DragonCon, which is awesome because he is a good presenter. He's funny. He's kind. And obviously, he has the experience of doing all that stuff. So he's sort of like the DJ, the moderator, and he gets everybody over there. And this was supposed to be Jeri's panel. And he introduces Jeri, and she comes out looking all great. And they start talking. It's clear those two had a great time on Voyager. They just talked about specifically from the time that Jeri Ryan joined the show until the end of the series. They talked about the good stuff, the bad stuff. One thing that really came out, and I don't know if this is common knowledge amongst the fans with Voyager, but there was a little bit of tension between Janeway and, between the actress that plays Janeway and Jeri Ryan. It didn't seem to come across on the screen. Do you think it did? Did you think it did?
Yeah.
You did, really? Okay, well, it came out in this panel that it was a lot more serious than a lot of people thought. And Jeri was being very diplomatic about it during part of the talk, but Garrett just came out and he was like, look, a lot of things were said that were that some people were treated unfairly, and he said it made things kind of difficult on the set. It made things difficult. Part of the tension, part of the problem was, if you think about Voyager when it first came out, one of the most radical things about it as a series, as a Star Trek series, it's the first time that there was a woman captain. And when Voyager first came out, that was a big deal, you know, to have this woman up there playing Janeway as captain, and she was, that was sort of the marquee thing and one of the distinctive things about the series. So she was getting a lot of attention. It was, you know, it was her show, and that was a significant thing, and that was a sort of a hook. And so all the media attention and all that was going to her. And then there were the first couple of years of the season, and the ratings were doing what they were doing during that time. And I think the honchos figured they needed to spice things up a little bit. And of course, Kes had to go. Yeah. Kes had to go. So in one episode, one turn of the season, you're bringing in a Borg, a blonde Borg. You're getting rid of Kes, and let's just say the media attention kind of migrated away from the captain to Seven on the series. And as we all know how the episode started developing, when she showed up on the show, it was like wasn't Voyager anymore. It was Seven of Nine and her friends. That's kind of how things were going from that point on. Now, for me, that wasn't a bad thing because obviously I like Jerry Ryan. And for me, I thought things were a little slow in the early seasons of Voyager. And so at the time when she came on, combined with the fact that it was the Borg, combined with the fact that they had accelerated some of the storytelling, I believe that Voyager, in terms of writing and pacing and everything, improved at that point. Not just because Jerry Ryan was on the show, but I figured they felt the need to take the show in a new direction or accelerate things. I don't know. But needless to say, the ratings started going up and things started going, and she started getting a whole lot of attention. And that was a problem. Well, Garrett is talking about what it was like on the set at this time. He talked about the last episode that Kes was on and how uncomfortable it was for everybody there. It was so bad that, well, naturally, well, Jerry Ryan on the set and even the guys on the cast were kind of hanging around her. You know, she's new. They want to get to know her and everything. And because they knew that the woman who was playing Kes was leaving, on that last episode, they even kind of gravitated away from her on set. Garrett was like, look, I felt bad for her. I intentionally didn't talk to Jerry because she was sitting in by herself on the set, and that was just wrong. So you don't get a sense of exactly how rough things were until you hear it straight from them. And and Jerry was like, she's like, you know, it was a big job for me. I didn't know what was going on. I was just so happy to be on the set. And so she's like, look, I'm just trying to do my job. I'm just trying to do what I'm supposed to be here. They could fire me at any moment. She said it was so bad. When they first put her in her Borg costume, they took the body cast of her and it cut off the circulation in her neck. But she said she was too afraid to tell anybody because she didn't want to get fired. But the problem is any time that she turned her head, it would cut into her carotid and make her feel like she was going to faint. And the staff noticed that she was starting to black out. So she's like, I didn't even say anything because I was so afraid. So, you know, all of these tensions that were going on, and you hear this stuff, and you know, before all this was happening, he was close to Janeway. Obviously, he got close to Jerry and everything. But he was talking about how tense it was. And how difficult it was because he just wanted everybody to get along and how he enjoyed everybody on the set and they were a family. And he starts breaking down in the panel. Remembering
breaking down.
Like head down, starting to cry a little. Seriously, I'm not exaggerating. I'm serious about how tough it was because, you know, look, he just wanted everybody to get along and it was supposed to be a family and that's how things felt on the set. And then this happened. And so it was really, really, really kind of rough, the trend. So there was a lot of tension between those two. And all of this is coming out in the panel. And people are like, oh, you know, this is before questions even started. This is what was going on. But to get that bit of insight into the series that, you know, we thought we knew so much was very powerful. And to get to know the actors in this way was also kind of unique. Things lightened up a bit after that, and they went on to talk about their own experiences and, you know, what some of their favorite shows were. And of course, Garrett got the short end of the stick on a lot of stuff on that series. I mean, if you watch him, he was like the new Wesley. When you watch, you're like, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that, too. He really got the short end of the stick on a lot of stuff. And he was not hesitant to mention that on the during the panel. But clearly, they had a lot of fun. It was cool to see them all together. And what thing that was kind of interesting, it was also Garrett's idea that Jerry come to Dragon Con because they'd been doing this for years and he'd been trying to get her to come out to the conventions and she was really hesitant. She's had some difficult experiences with fans and other things in the past. And, you know, she mentioned that was one of the reasons she was a little worried about coming to the convention. You can imagine, I mean, women at conventions typically have difficult times. I'm just talking about fans have difficult times sometimes. So for you to be an A-list celebrity, sometimes there can be some additional pressures and stressors that just ordinary actors would not encounter. And this was such an issue that she mentioned that she brought her bodyguard with her, and because she wanted to feel safe. So she introduces her bodyguard, and this dude walks off from backstage, straight up looks like Debo. Okay, you know, the guy, the cat, the president from Fifth Element, that's what it looked like. This dude walks out, and we're like, because this big old dude's like, hey, what's up? You know, just like, oh, he keeps me safe. Nobody's messing with Debo. I mean, I was like, whoa. See, he goes back on stage, everything's cool. It was great scene. Everybody was very generous. Everybody was very kind. I liked them both, and it was a great panel. And we heard some things that certainly was new to me, even though I was a real fan of the later seasons of Voyager.
So what else happened Friday night?
And that's when we saw Zabu from the guild, Sandeep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. At our restaurant. We're just chilling together. And Charles is like, hey.
It's Zabu!
I think it's the guy from the guild. Be cool. And we're all like, where? Don't look. But he's right over there.
Like, literally right behind us.
He was, the table over.
It was awkward because I had to turn to see him and do the crane neck thing, and that was super awkward for me because I was like, should I full-on turn or play it cool? Because full-on turn isn't playing it cool, but this somehow also doesn't feel cool, so I didn't know what to do. I was in a crisis, but at least I got to see him. Yay!
I saw him, and I didn't know who he was, so I was just like, whatever.
And we all descended upon him when the girl he was with went to the bathroom. And then
we were cool because he was with someone and we didn't want to interrupt and we were being mellow. Soon as she got up, get him! And we all ran over there. Hey, excuse me, hey. But see, we had a strategy. We had a plan for it. Charles was going to approach and say, hi, I'm a big fan. I had his camera, so I was the cameraman for that. You know, the ladies were the eye candy to distract him. So they were like, hi, oh, we're such big fans. So he was like, whoom, we were on him with a plan.
So, yeah, I heard these plans too. He's like, no, because I'm a cameraman. It's literal. happened. They literally planned all that crap. It was so funny. And I was
the coolest part was it was a smooth execution. I mean, it was like when she got up, someone goes, oh, she's getting up. And then we looked at each other. It's like, engage the plan. He's free. He's free. Descend. And we just pounced on the poor guy. But it was cool because he was nice. You know, he didn't give us the, what are you guys doing? Look, now he was like, oh man, let me tell you what else we're working on. Well, I can't tell you about this, but you know, there's a show coming up and it's going to be cool, but I can't tell you what it is. And but okay. One thing I did forget is while after the Jerry Ryan panel, you guys were still resting. I did go to the Walk of Fame. I went down to the Walk of Fame, which is the sort of booths where the actors who show up, or you know, other honchos, you know, comic book artists and whatnot, are sitting there, and there's a chance where you can meet them. You know, you could either take a picture with them or get them to sign something for you, typically for a fee, depending on who the actor was. So I had a little bit of time to kill before the ladies woke up. So after the panel, I went there, and I went through, and I caught just the tail end of it because it was getting kind of late. And so I'm walking through, and the first person that I see, and there's only one other person in line in front of me, was Ron Glass. Book was there. I said, oh, I have got to see Book. So I get in line and sit up there. Guy leaves, and I walk up there like, hey, how's it going, Mr. Glass? You know, I've been watching. And he's just so cool. I mean, it was just, I'm not sure how old Ron Glass is, but he was just chill. He's like,
it's like he's been 60 for like 20 years.
It's amazing. He's like, you've been watching me, really? I said, yeah. He said, well, what was the first show you remember before from? I said, I used to watch you on Barney Miller. He said, no way. I said, I did. It was me and my dad used to watch you on Barney Miller. And he goes, well, I appreciate that. He said, well, do you want a picture or something? Because, you know, I'm sitting there talking and jamming his ear off. And I'm looking down. I'm seeing all the different pictures that are there. I said, okay, I tell you what. You tell me. Because he had some great pictures of all different eras. I said, whichever one you want, just pick one. Pick the one you like. And that's the one I'll take. He says, all right, well, you remember me from back in the day? I say, do indeed. So he grabbed the Barney Miller picture, and he signed it for me. And so what happens is you get a choice. You're really supposed to either get something signed, or, you know, if you give, you know, a couple of bucks, you can take a photo with him. I didn't care. It was the end of the evening. I got flew all that way. I'm getting me a picture. So I break out the camera. I say, sir, I know you signed this, but can I get a picture too? Yeah, okay, no problem, no problem. So his buddy gets in there, and I got this cool shot of me and Ron Glass. And you know what's kind of scary? If you look at us now, because, you know, I'm bald, and he has really, really short hair now, we kind of look alike. We kind of look alike now. And you'd be like, whatever, man. Wait till you see the picture. And you'd be like, wait a minute. So that was cool. And that by itself, I said, Walk of Fame, I'm cool. Just getting a chance to sit down and talk a little bit with Book was cool. And you know, they're closing things down, so I'm ready, and I'm turning. I'm getting ready to walk out. And I turn to my left, Jeri Ryan by herself. And see, what happened was I wasn't ready for Jeri Ryan. So when I saw her, like, something kind of locked up in me. And I was like, and it was like the wind had gotten knocked out of me. And say we're like 2 minutes until closing, and she's just sitting there by herself. And so I'm trying to limp over there.
Nah, you had a big guy
mind. No, I'm focused on Jeri right now. She's there with, you know, her little, you know, manager or somebody's down there with her. And so I'm staggering over there because, you know, like I said, I wasn't ready. And she was right there. And so I was like, and I walk over. I was like, hey, Miss Ryan, how you doing? My name is Carl, and I'm on the Twitters, and I was, you said, wished me happy birthday one time. I'm a big fan. Hi. And she turns to me, she goes, hi, I sent you something on Twitter. I said, yeah. She said, well, what's your handle? I said, Robo Minister. She goes, oh, well, I'll look around and see if there's something else that you post. But I'm glad you're a fan. I'm happy I responded. I hope I said something nice. I said, oh, it was nice. It was great, Miss Ryan. Thank you. Thank you very much. And she said, well, you want a picture? How you doing? Did you enjoy the panel? I said, oh, you were great. You're fabulous. You're beautiful. I think you're great, Miss Ryan. And I was mumbling something else I didn't remember. And she said, well, would you like me to sign? So, sure, sure. So I picked a picture, and she signed a picture. And she signed a picture. I said, you know what? I came here to meet Jeri Ryan. I came here. She signed my picture. I'm getting me a picture. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to take a picture, me and Jeri Ryan. So I reach it, and I pull my camera out. And then from the background, Debo steps out from behind the table where she is. And I said, I don't care what anybody says. I'm putting this camera right back in my pocket. I eased the camera back in my pocket, and I said, thank you very much, Miss Ryan, and I tipped off. I don't have a picture with me and Jeri Ryan, even though I met her, because, well, you know why, but I made a complete fool out of myself, so I'm embarrassed and humiliated, and that's why I did not tell you what happened with my Jeri Ryan experience, because I was embarrassed. I was I was just embarrassed. It was disgusting. It was shameful. I just was an utter fool. But
oh my God,
it was bad. And then Debo didn't help. I just all my Mac was just gone. I was just gone. I was like, hey. So that took me a little while to recuperate from. I kind of staggered the aisles of Dragon Con holding pictures of Jeri Ryan and Ron Glass. And I was like, I suppose they'll want me back in the room at some point. And so eventually I found my way back upstairs. Steph, can you remember what else did we do that night after we had dinner? And then did we do people watching? What did we do? Because here's the thing about Dragon Con. The lack of sleep, the activity, everything tends to blend together. Yeah. It just becomes this mob, and the only way you can separate events and days is like, who did I see? That was Jeri Ryan Day. Oh, that was Adam Baldwin Day. You know, so trying to pick out the interstitial stuff is a little tough. So.
Well, I can tell you what happened after we went out to eat, because we walked out, and we were all looking for a liquor store.
Oh, my God.
Friday night was Phone Gate.
Oh, no!
Yep, I remember what happened.
I forgot about Phone Gate.
Was that Friday night? No. Was
yes, it?
It
was too.
Oh, jeez.
We went out looking for liquor stores all over the place, even though there was like five within their area, but we couldn't find it because of all the humanity. Yeah. And then what happened, Carl?
I'm trying to get Kai right now. She needs to get in on this one. Kai?
Hi, how are you?
Woo! You're on the podcast, girl!
You just call me like that? You don't give me no warning?
I do. I know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I could have been involved in something.
You wouldn't have picked up the phone if you were. If you were involved in something and you picked up the phone, we have to be concerned about the level of involvement that...
I miss you.
So we have Stephanie. And Carl, but not Charles.
I know.
Here we go.
Okay. Charles may not be very sober right now.
He's at work, so he has to be sober.
Oh.
Okay. So what we've done is we've talked about a little bit about Friday night and some of the things that are happening. And right now we're at PhoneGate.
Yes, where we have all enjoyed our meal, and we are back at the hotel room after our meal. And then what happened?
Okay. So is this going to be like when we were trying to tell a story drunk at 3 a.m., or are we going to take turns?
I kind of want to, before we get to PhoneGate, I want to hear what she did on Friday night, because she went to panels.
Yes, tell us about your panels.
Oh, yes. What did I do Friday? Okay, Friday I was really happy. I got a lot done because I'm a kind of a control freak at conventions, so my goal for this convention was to not be like a control freak, and so...
Wait, Kai, mm-hmm. So let me introduce you guys, because this is her first time on the podcast. She does a website called Fiction State of Mind, where she reviews books. She, whatever else she's comfortable telling you, but we met her on Twitter through Charles, who used to call in, leave voicemails all the time, and he recommended that she room with us. We'd never met her before or anything like that, but it turned out she was just instantly one of us, and so now she's never going to get rid of us now, because it's like that now. So she has gone to conventions such as Comic-Con, and if I weren't so tired, I was going to have her on to talk to me about Comic-Con, but she can talk about that a little bit here. But I just want to give you guys just a little bit brief introduction of Kai before she got into what she did on Friday night. So sorry for the interruption. Proceed, ma'am.
Friday was good because I had the red eye when I got in early. I was able to do everything, figure out part of the lay of the land. And Kat, you picked the perfect hotel because most of the tracks were in our hotel. It was just of finding them. So the first thing I did is I ended up giving blood, which is fun because I thought it'd be good to do that Friday before any substances got in my blood that may not have been that good. Like scotch or something. So I did the blood drive. And one of the first things I noticed there is all the hotel people are really nice. Like Comic-Con and other conventions can learn so much from Atlanta and how you treat people who are coming in your town spending money, from like the bellhop to anyone at the Marquis Marriott. You just go to them and they immediately help you. They were just so polite. They were on it. It was like, ma'am, this, and do you need help, ma'am, all weekend. But the staff of the convention, it was a little bit trickier. So because when it was early, it was fine. So actually the first thing I did is I went to the Star Wars room. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And so I was planning on doing most of the Star Wars track. And so how Dragon Con works is to try to figure out what you want to go. You look at tracks. And one of the first things I noticed is this seems to be a very fan-run convention. It's almost like a way, like, every track is a little fraternity. Like, they put lots of hours of hard work. Like, they decorate their room. They have raffles. They were all donating to a food bank, so I do have some pictures that I'll put in an article, but it was just really cute in the room because it was like you gave a bunch of Star Wars geeks a room and said, this is your room for 4 days. So they had posters, they had, you know, cosplayers, and it was just a really nice setup in the room. It was perfect for, like, Star Wars fans. So the first panel I saw there was actually... They were talking about bridging the gap between the Clone Wars and the new cartoon called Rebels. One thing I didn't like that I wish they would have had more information in the app, or if they would have presented a little bit more introduction. I knew all the people on the panel because I kind of stalk Star Wars on Twitter. So I knew one of them, there was Amy Geek. She's a wonderful girl. If you don't follow her on Twitter, She's just fantastic. She actually works for IGN and now for Star Wars Blog. A lot of people who I follow every day on Twitter talking about Star Wars were on the panel. But I kind of wished it was like they announced them a little bit, but I was kind of wishing like, well, I wish they would have promoted themselves a little more, like handed out a list or something, or put more in the apps. Like, this is this person's Twitter, because I know there were three or four people there I didn't follow that I wanted to follow. And I have no way of knowing who they are because they're not in the app or anything. So after that, I think I just did panel, the Star Wars panel. God, what did I do on Friday? I pretty much stayed in the Marriott Marquis. I went to some author signings, which was really cool. And then I met all of you guys, and we checked into the hotel.
Nice. And,
That's pretty cool. And then we did dinner, and then we did phone gate, and then we went to sleep. So that was
Yeah, cool. But phone gate, no, come on.
What?
You gotta talk about it.
He's just going to try to breeze past that.
So I think this is where, and the reason why I'm going to talk about tech a little bit is why I love Apple. I'm not sure, not to diss Android or anything because I've never owned one, but this is one of the reasons why I just will always, for the recent time, always buy an Apple phone is because I lost my phone and I dropped it somewhere and I just didn't know. Apple has a great thing where you find your iPhone and you can send tones to it. It locks and it does all these neat little things if you find it. But the best thing that happens is hopefully somebody will turn it in. So I noticed I did not have my phone, so we tried to find it and all these other things. We located it on a map via Find My iPhone, and we noticed that it wasn't moving, so we thought maybe I dropped it and it's like landing in brush or under a tree or maybe in a grate or something. So I drug Carl downstairs to help me comb the streets of downtown Atlanta looking for my iPhone
while Kai and I were in mission control
watching,
making sure the phone didn't move, and then at Carl's command, I was going to play the noise on the phone, and so it would beep when you guys were near it and stuff. It was a whole thing.
It was so coordinated. We were like phone search mode. It was a military operation.
For this even podcast. Charles was involved though, because
I texted to Charles at 3 a.m. and he was awake, and I was like, could you go over tonight and maybe he could find something we missed? And we both had the same thing. You and we both saw you when you were pulling out a phone for an app for some things we were searching for that night that we never found. And he's like, liquor. Yeah, that's the last liquor. I didn't know if you wanted to put our phone out.
Well, it's too late now. So, we've already bitched repeatedly.
We are the most bitch nuts people, six people in the heart of Atlanta, and we couldn't find a liquor store. Think that's bad.
The next day, we see like five of them all around.
Right. So apparently, I guess after, I didn't tell him to do it, but after he sent me back that text, I guess he started then calling your phone over and over and over and over, which we weren't doing it because Steph was waiting until you guys were in the area.
Then Carl was like, okay, press the button. So while Charles was calling, I was like, making... So the security people were probably like, let's call her to shut this phone up. It is making so much noise.
And so, wait, but before that, I mean, we were doing all this beeping and we didn't want to beep. We wanted to beep it when we were on the street because we didn't want to alert like the thief if it was stolen that we were looking for it. And then they do some, some really big hack or something to delete the thing and then strip it like they do cars or whatever. So we were trying to be very careful, and then turns out because Charles was calling it so much that we finally got a security guy to call Kai, and then Kai called us, or how did that work?
I think they called Charles because they called Charles.
Oh, yep. They called Charles and then Charles.
But was it in our hotel? Is that what happened? Was the phone in our hotel?
It was in the hotel.
Because I was telling Steph, I'm like, I don't think Kat would have recovered from that. Like, no. I don't know. I couldn't have. I couldn't recover from not having my phone. Can you imagine going 4 days?
God, miserable.
Girl, no.
No, I saw her soul start to drain out of her body.
I think that's why they went into emotional,
She went into shock, and she was only giving us one-word responses.
Mm-hmm.
Her eyes were in a far-off place.
She was developing a tic. I saw her tic. Her little shoulder was kind of going up. She's like, no, it's okay. I got it backed up. I said, oh, we got to get this girl on the street. Come on. Let's go.
I started getting all antsy and stuff. It was crazy, but, like, I just really appreciate that you know, you got the phone, the thumbprint scanner. You got the phone where it can find itself and make noises. It locked, so if somebody was trying to hack into it, because we were sending the tones to it so many times, it went ahead and locked. So if anybody was trying to do anything to that phone, it was a brick to them, and they may as well have turned it in. So
right.
I'll just never not buy an iPhone, because they keep the security thing that they have right now. It was just absolutely key in me recovering my phone and for me to get
well. That and the A-Team.
And the A-Team. And I gotta say, man, these guys, I love them for life, because we just went through some stuff this Dragon Con, but...
I know. And imagine, and also, too, the fact we had known each other face-to-face less than 5 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, most other people would have been like, I'm going to get a drink. I don't know what you're going to do.
But they knew they were going to be stuck with a whiny, mopey, phoneless person. They was like, oh, hell no.
He wanted to make
plus sure. Carl had already seen Jerry Ryan, so he was
I was set. Yeah, I was set at that point.
You didn't care at that point, but if it had
happened,
been
yeah.
channel had come at the same time as my phone being like, I probably wouldn't have a phone right now.
Yep.
But that didn't happen, but Carl was a hero. Stephanie was a hero. Kai was a Charles was a hero. Everybody was a hero, and I really, really love you guys.
You guys didn't do any panels or anything Friday, right?
No.
Was it dinner? Okay.
Yeah, it was
dinner,
just
dinner, and then high fives after the phone gate, and we all went to bed and discovered that all of us snore, and that was the end.
All of us.
All of us.
Carl, don't even play, because I got up early Monday and there were snores coming from one direction. And it wasn't the ladies. It wasn't the ladies.
It was a delicate sigh is all it was. Just a little sigh. Little breathing. Little breathing.
Oh my So yes, that was day one of the Sci-Fi Party Line crew at Dragon Con 2014. We have two more Dragon Con installments and a very special extra episode coming soon. We'd love your feedback, so give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website, leave us a comment at sci-fipartyline.com. You can reach us all at Sci-Fi Party Line on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
End of line.